Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grupo Carrefour Brazil's third quarter and nine months of 2018 conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session when further instructions to participate will be provided. Should you require assistance during the call, please press star 02. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded and broadcast live on the investor relations website at www.grupocarrefourbrazil.com.br. The slide presentation is also available on this website. Slide selection will be controlled by you. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Actual performance could differ materially from that anticipated in any forward-looking comments or statements because of macroeconomic conditions, market risks, and other factors. Today with us, we have Mr. Noel Priou, Chief Executive Officer, Sebastien Turchon, Chief Financial Officer, Roberto Musnik, Chief Executive Officer of Atacadão, José Luiz Gutierrez, CEO of Carrefour Retail, Paula Cardoso, CEO of Carrefour Soluções Financeiras and Executive Director of Client Services and Digital Transformation, and Daniela Bretthauer, IR Officer. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Noel Priou to start the conference call. Mr. Priou, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to present Grupo Carrefour Brazil's third quarter and nine-month 2018 results. I will start with a brief overview of the key highlights of our performance and strategy. Then Sebastien will detail our financial performance. Roberto and Paula will present the key performance highlights of their respective businesses. After Sebastien's concluding remarks, we will then open the floor to your questions. Throughout this call, I will be referring to the presentation that you can download on our investor relations website. Let us begin on slide three with the key headline numbers of both third quarter and the nine months of 2018. Q3 was another strong quarter for Grupo Carrefour Brazil. We posted accelerating growth with a very solid sales increase and sharply improved profitability. All of our businesses contributed to this robust performance, demonstrating the strength of our multi-format and multi-channel model. Our gross sales rose 8.1% to 14 billion reais in the third quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA increased by more than 32% to 991 million reais, with adjusted EBITDA margin of 7.8%, representing a gain of  144 basis points. Our adjusted net income group share was up by a very strong 67.6% to 391 million reais, equivalent to a 3.1% net margin. The 9 months showed a similar trend as those of the quarter. Gross sales rose 6.6% to 40.5 billion reals. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 15.5% to almost 2.8 billion reals, while EBITDA margin at 7.5% grew by 60 basis points. Adjusted net income, group share, rose 40% to 1.1 billion reals, with net margin reaching 3%. Our balance sheet remains strong in this quarter, with our net debt, including discounted receivables, standing at 2.3 billion reals at the end of September. This represents a leverage ratio of 0.59 times adjusted EBITDA in generating 0.18 times our equity. So overall, Grupo Carrefour Brazil's growth is accelerating in a sustainable and healthy way. As you know, this solid performance takes place within the framework of Carrefour Group's transformation plan, which was unveiled in January this year. We have been rolling out a number of actions over the past several quarters in line with the plan. The pillars of the plan include deploying a simplified and open organization, pursuing productivity and competitiveness gains throughout our operations, accelerating our omnichannel strategy with strong advances in e-commerce and the sustained pace of expansion at Atacadão, and to overall our food offer to support Carrefour's ambition of being the leader in the food transition for all. On slide 4, I would like to focus in particular on a recent initiative that Carrefour is rolling out throughout the world and that was launched in Brazil on October 1st, the Act for Food campaign. This campaign, built on a new positioning, everyone deserves the best, consists of a series of concrete actions to provide consumers with better access to a healthy, high-quality diet at affordable prices. As shown on the slide, this program is built on 4 pillars. Offering high-quality, healthy, and tasteful products. Ensuring competitive prices to make this offering affordable. Making products available through an omnichannel model, adding services to make our clients' lives easier, educating our clients regarding food transition challenges in order to win their trust. This program is being deployed with a strong advertising campaign and in-store actions in Carrefour retail stores. And I will detail some of those on the following slide. On slide 5, you can see some examples of actions that are underway throughout the group to advance the goals of the food transition for all. We relaunched Sabor e Qualidade, one of our private label brands, whose products comply with the most stringent social and environmental criteria. The brand currently includes 13 product categories, including fruit, meat, eggs, poultry, fish, and shrimp, produced by several suppliers from all regions of Brazil. And we will be adding new products in the next months. These products are now available in all Carrefour hypermarkets and already account for 6% of fresh product sales at the end of September, compared with 4% in the year-ago period. Our target is to reach 10% penetration by 2022. We are also developing other lines of own brand or private label products, which today stand at about 2,000 SKUs, representing nearly 8% of food sales in September 2018, putting us on track to achieve our target of reaching 15% by 2022. Our Viver private label brand now offers 100% healthy products. We are bringing in imported lines of products to leverage on Carrefour's expertise and quality. Group Carrefour has also set a goal of 5 billion euros in sales of organic products by 2022, and Carrefour Brazil is playing its part here as well. We have rolled out dedicated organic sections in a few hypermarkets, and we plan to reach all our stores next year. We have seen a 75% increase in sales of organic products in stores where there are dedicated sections to organic products. And we have about 1,500 SKUs of healthy products developed in partnership with suppliers. I hope this has given you a taste of the diverse actions that Carrefour has launched in support of its food transition ambition. Before I hand over the call to Sebastián, who will make more detailed comments on our consolidated financial performance, I would like to quickly mention the acquisition of eMedia, announced on November 6. On slide 6, we'll look at an acquisition that we just announced of eMedia, a food tech company focused on digital content. This transaction aims to integrate CyberCook content with our food e-commerce, through which it will be possible to purchase products that are part of CyberCook recipes and also access the portal's recipes by purchasing food in our e-commerce, thus increasing traffic and improving customer experience. With this acquisition, Carrefour Brazil Group reaffirms its commitment to its strategy of digital transformation and food transition in Brazil, offering healthy and high-quality food at affordable prices, in line with the Carrefour Group's global ambition to become a world leader in food transition for all. I now turn the floor over to our CFO, Sebastián Durchon. Thank you, Noel, and good morning, everyone. Let us start on slide 8 with our consolidated sales, which were up 8.1% in Q3 in total, including petrol. On a like-for-like basis, sales were up 5.1% with expansion, notably the 14 new Atacadão stores that were opened since the start of the year, contributing another 4%. Sales increase. As a reminder, this quarter was marked by an unfavorable calendar impact of minus 1%. This strong growth in the quarter results from a combination of several factors, including acceleration of like-for-like sales in all formats, strong expansion at Atacadão with 4 openings in the quarter, and rapid growth of e-commerce, which now accounts for 7% of Carrefour retail sales, including petrol, versus 3% 1 year ago. As you see on the slide, our sales were also supported by the end of food deflation that had prevailed since June 2017. Over the quarter, food at home inflation stood at 1.3%, which is still a low number. The October IPCA food at home, which was released just yesterday, supports our view that deflation is indeed over. The cumulative 12-month inflation, including October data, points is now 3.3%. Over the first 9 months, gross sales grew by 6.6% with like-for-like growth ex-calendar of 3% and expansion contributing another 3.8%. On slide 9, we turn to our P&L, which shows a sharp improvement in profitability both in the quarter and in the 9 months of 2018, thanks to a solid operating performance and lower financial expenses. I want to emphasize here that in order to make performance comparable, we have adjusted the Q3 2017 gross profit and EBITDA downward. For 6 months of ICMS SD tax credits booked in the third quarter 17 and related to the first half of last year. These credits related to a ruling by the Federal Supreme Court, STF, regarding presumed margin and were recognized for the first time in September 2017, retroactive to January 1st. For Carrefour, this adjustment results in a decrease of 22 million reals in gross profit and EBITDA, and for Atacadão, the reduction was 75 million reals in both lines. Net sales were up 8.1% in the quarter to 12.7 billion reals, driven by higher sales in all our businesses. In Q3, our gross profit reached 2.7 billion reals, up 12.9%. Our gross margin improved by 93 basis points to 21.8%, driven largely by Atacadão's better performance and also by Carrefour Soluções Financeiras, which both recorded strong growth in the quarter. All our businesses showed productivity gains over the quarter. Overall, SG&A expenses accounted for 14.0% of our net sales, down 51 basis points versus last year, in spite of an accelerated pace of expansion. At Carrefour Retail, SG&A expenses were down 2.5% in reals or 100 basis points as a result of efficiency gain actions coupled with a tight control of expenses. As a consequence of the significant increase of our gross margin in the SG&A expense efficiency I have just mentioned, adjusted consolidated EBITDA rose by a very solid 32.6% in Q3, adjusted EBITDA margin rose by a strong 144 basis points to 7.8%. Our net financial result dropped by nearly 29% in the quarter as a result of lower interest rates and our lower debt level. Thus, net adjusted income group share was up by 67.6% to 391 million reals, with net margin gaining 109 basis points to reach 3.1%. Our performance over 9 months was equally strong, with net sales up 6.3% to 36.9 billion reals. Adjusted EBITDA was up 15.5% to 2.8 billion reals, with margin increasing by 60 basis points, and adjusted net income group share increasing by 40% to 1.1 billion reals. With this, we will now take a look at each of our business units, and I will now hand over to Roberto to start with the excellent performance of Atacadão. Thank you very much, Sebastián, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call. Let us start on slide 11. Atacadão posted another very strong and consistent quarter, with sales accelerating to return to double-digit growth and margins improving. Gross sales in Q3 accelerated for the third consecutive quarter, as you see on the chart on the left-hand side of the slide. They rose by more than 11% to almost 9.5 billion reals, a significant increase over the 8.4% growth recorded in the second quarter and the 5.7% rise in Q1. We benefited from the end of food deflation that Sebastián mentioned, but above all, we saw a continued increase in volumes, thanks to strong commercial partnerships and a focus on B2B. The strength of Atacadão's commercial model became evident by the strong acceleration in like-for-like sales that you see on the graph in orange, which, as you know, is a Pacas color. Like-for-like growth accelerated quarter-on-quarter from 0.5% in Q1 to 4.5% in Q2, and now 6.2% in Q3. We have returned to like-for-like levels of Q1 2017 and have now turned the deflation page, as we had expected. Expansion was also a strong driver of sales, contributing 6% in the quarter. We opened four stores this quarter, including the successful conversion of one Carrefour hypermarket, the Boa Viagem store in Recife, as well as two wholesale operations. We are on track, and these conversions have been very successful, and we are on track to achieve our goal of 20 openings this year for the first time in the 56 years of Atacadão's history. Gross profit in the quarter, adjusted, as explained by Sebastián, rose by 15.8% to over 1.3 billion reais, and gross margin improved by 59 basis points to 15.5%. This increase of our gross margin comes from the strength of our commercial model, which enabled us to maintain our scale and price competitiveness over the quarter. Atacadão's distribution costs at 8% of net sales were stable versus last year in spite of our strong expansion. In spite of our great and strong expansion, which clearly shows the efficiency gains made in our existing stores and the robustness of our model. Adjusted EBITDA rose by 21.2% in Q3, with margin improving 61 basis points to 7.5%, so the machine remains intact. Let me now hand over to my friend Guti. Thank you, Roberto. Good morning, everyone. On slide 12, you see the main performance indicators of Carrefour Retail, which showed a clear improvement in Q3 compared to previous quarters, thanks to our continued commercial initiatives in various formats, cost reduction efforts, the development of our multi-channel strategy. Gross sales in Q3 amounted to 4.5 billion reals, up 2.2% in total and up 3% on a like-for-like basis, representing the best like-for-like performance since Q1 2017, as shown on the chart on the left-hand side of the slide. The chart also clearly shows an acceleration quarter-on-quarter of like-for-like sales. This growth was driven by several factors. Number one, an improvement in performance in our hypermarkets, notably the 23 that were recently applied, our competitiveness plan, reaching strong growth in volumes and recovering the forecast investment, which validates our decision to adjust the value proposition. Secondly, good like-for-like sales performance in convenience stores as a consequence of the plan implemented that positively impacted sales. Certainly, a very strong growth in e-commerce, as Paula will detail shortly. Adjusted gross profit rose 2.3% in the quarter, and gross margin gained 11 basis points to reach 24.9%, reversing the falling trend in previous quarters. This margin growth was driven by two factors. One, better margins in our traditional formats, especially hypermarkets. And two, our e-commerce operations, along with greater contribution from our marketplace. As you see on the slide, we continued to make efficiency gains in the quarter and brought distribution costs down by 2.5% to 20.5% of net sales from 21.5% 1 year ago, as a result of improved processes and productivity gains. These gains, combined with better gross margin, allowed us to grow adjusted EBITDA by 32.7% in the quarter to 181 million reals, with our margin gaining 105 basis points at 4.5%. I will now hand over to Paula to comment on e-commerce multi-channel strategy, as well as on the performance of Carrefour Soluções Financeiras. Thank you, Guti. Good morning, everyone. I will start wearing my hat of e-commerce hat by commenting on slide 3 on the performance of our e-commerce operations, which are the fastest growing segment within Carrefour Retail. E-commerce sales now reach 7% of our retail sales, more than doubling from the 3% in the same period last year. As shown on the slide, we continue to rapidly ramp up our omnichannel strategy, and Q3 was another period of strong growth. Carrefour's growth merchandise volume, GMV, grew by 106%, significantly outperforming the market, which grew by 8% in the period, according to Trade Association EBIT. Others were up by 66% as we continue expanding the number of SKUs, and the number of visits was up 61%, reaching 32 million in the quarter. Our marketplace is also growing rapidly. It now counts on about 1,000 sellers versus 374 in Q2, with SKUs now reaching about 1 million. As a result, the marketplace now accounts for 16% of our GMV, compared with 13.3% in Q2. Our omni-channel capabilities are expanding rapidly across the group, and slide 14 shows you a few examples. We have completed the rollout of click and collect in our hypermarkets, and its net promoter score, about 70%, attests to the good service experience offered by Carrefour. One in every four customers who bought a smartphone online and one in every 10 buyers of consumer electronics choose to pick them up in stores. Omnichannel clearly leads to cross-selling opportunities. One in every three customers that choose to pick up the product in one of our stores ends up making an additional purchase, and many of these customers are new to Carrefour. We are also advancing with the rollout of drives, with 10 expected drives by year end. And customers and the repeat purchases by drive customers in food e-commerce is above 40%, which implies that customers are enjoying the drive alternative here. Here too, the net promoter score is above 70%. 24% of our customers are already omnichannel, and so we have to employ a unique strategy to serve them. Our solution is One Carrefour. As of this month, checkbox and artificial intelligence have been deployed. In the social media, we have already been able to anticipate the responses down to an average of 4 hours, and in December, we will have only one dial-in number for customer service. The Carrefour card is now available for Samsung Pay and Google Pay, for Visa and MasterCard. In addition, the launch of our digital wallet pilot with NFC technology is scheduled for December. With regard to innovation, in the third quarter, we made pilots with push notifications, in-app notifications within the stores, and with LIA, a tool that allows to view online the price and availability of the product in store, which already generated 8,000 visits in September in just 3 stores. The Meu Carrefour program has around 10 million registered customers. In the third quarter, we reached 68% of identified sales. Clients enrolled in Meu Carrefour program have 47% higher frequency and spend 73% more compared with identified customers. Now, I will comment on the performance of Carrefour Financial Solutions in the next slide, slide 15. As shown on slide 15, Carrefour Soluções Financeiras posted another strong performance in Q3 with growth in billings, an impressive increase in adjusted EBITDA, and a further improvement in the quality of our loan portfolio. Total billings in Q3 reached more than 6.4 billion reals, up by a very strong 30.5%. Over 9 months, the growth is even stronger, with billings up 35.1% to over 18 billion BRL. Of this, the Atacadão credit card already represents more than 23%. There are now 1.4 million Atacadão card holders, and we are very happy to say that we have already reached break-even on the Atacadão card ahead of schedule. The card is clearly a big success and already accounts for 10% of Atacadão sales. Carrefour credit card billings were also up by a solid 9.5% to 4.8 billion reals versus the same quarter last year. Our credit portfolio rose 23% to about 7 billion BRL. The quality of our loan portfolio continued to improve, with the balance of loans overdue more than 90 days, representing 10.5% of the portfolio versus 11.1% year on year, while the balance of loans overdue more than 30 days fell by 60 basis points to 13.4%. Adjusted EBITDA reached 192 million reals in Q3, a rise of 81%. Despite the drop in interest rates and despite the new regulations on credit cards implemented last year, confirming that we have gradually offset the impact of the new regulations with increased credit activity and enhanced efficiency, despite investment in the Atacadão card rollout. Over the first 9 months, adjusted EBITDA is up almost 60% and reached 622 million reals. This means that through September, we have already surpassed the EBITDA of the full 2017 of 557 million reals, demonstrating our capacity for profitable and sustainable growth. Let me now hand the floor back to Sebastián for his concluding remarks. Thank you, Paula. By way of concluding remarks, I would like to highlight the very solid trends that underpin Group Carrefour Brazil's performance and the sequential growth in sales and adjusted EBITDA that we have seen quarter after quarter since the start of the year. As you see on the left-hand part of the slide, our sales have grown every quarter, and like-for-like growth is accelerating consistently from 0.5% in Q1 to 3.6% in Q2, to 5.1% in Q3. Similarly, as shown on the right-hand part of the slide, adjusted EBITDA has increased every quarter, with a sequential improvement in margin to 7.8% in Q3 from 7.1% in the first quarter of the year and 7.6% in the second quarter. This solid performance allows us to advance the payment of part of the 2018 dividends, as you see on slide 18. We will be paying an amount of 380 million reals in the form of interest on equity. Shares will trade ex-IOE as of November 13th, and payment date has been set at December 12th. This concludes our presentation. Thank you very much for your attention, and we are now available to take your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star 9. First question from Mr. Joseph Giordano with J.P. Morgan. Mr. Giordano, please go ahead. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My first question goes to Paula. In terms of digitization, projects are advancing way faster than anticipated and with less margin erosion. So I have two questions. First, regarding fulfillment of the marketplace, how can you ensure level of service? And is there any integration of the marketplace with the stores, particularly with click and collect, because it seems to be very relevant, one-third of shoppers buy something else when they go collect their product. And my second question has to do with the e-wallet project. Do you have any idea of having cash back to try to foster the growth of this portfolio? And my third question goes to Guti in terms of retail expenses. It was a very positive highlight here. I want to understand if there is any more room to reduce this. And what about growth initiatives in terms of Carrefour Market? Thank you. This is Paula. Okay, to start talking about marketplace, we don't do fulfillment. It is sent directly to clients. What we do is have a strong control of having an NPS according to the service to understand if the client is in the top 10 or top 20 complaints. So we do quality assessment, but fulfillment is done 100% by our sellers. Second question, and yes, it does help our profitability, as you said. Secondly, regarding payment, e-wallet, we are intensifying this program. In the beginning of 2018, the focus was on payment options. In December, we are going to have instantaneous payment with QR code, contactless, without a card. We accept payment with Google Pay, Samsung Pay. On the other hand, the stores are already accepting 100% of the portfolio. So we don't see payment as an industry as a whole yet. We are focusing on payment options. This is Guti. To answer your first question, we continue to assess new initiatives, both in our stores and in everything that is related to service contracts, cleaning contracts, logistics, all of the services that we have. We are assessing the scope to add productivity. To date, we have opened 4 stores, and we intend to open 6 more stores to total 10, and the performance is as expected in our business plan. Perfect. Thank you very much. Next question from Mr. Tiago Macuscu with Itaú. Go ahead, sir. Good morning. My question goes to Roberto. We have seen in Atacadão's margin perhaps better numbers than we could expect at the beginning of the year. The PIS, COFINS, tax credits, etc., remained in your balance sheet. Do you think that this is sustainable? Should we expect the same level for 2019? That's my first question. Now, question to Guti. Food inflation in the fourth quarter will be stronger. So I want you to help me understand the impact of this in your business. Should we imagine inflation as a driver to drive down expenses, or could it drive gross margin as well? Will the market become more competitive, pass through the prices, or perhaps not? These are my questions. Good morning, Tiago. Indeed, what we saw was a significant margin improvement. But this is a very fine-tuning vis-a-vis our everyday low-price model, which we maintain and which we fiercely struggle to maintain in the market. Of course, our competition increases every day. We are managing to maintain this model, and we want to deliver more and more. It is true that 0.85 in our margin, we have managed this day by day, assessing our competitiveness. We are negotiating strongly, working with volumes and scale, particularly focusing on small merchants and the market, small B2B players. So the market has a slightly better mood, and people are going to perhaps eat more out, and perhaps the sales volumes at these small merchants will be better. So, yes, we have tools to measure this, and if possible, to maintain this. Now, if the market so requires, we are going to use this, say, reserve to maintain our model. Guti, over to you. Good morning, Tiago. Obviously, inflation will drive the performance, and it has an effect on costs. As I mentioned before, we have to continue to work to reduce the impact on our costs to maintain our level of profitability. Is it reasonable to suppose that competition that you're facing in the market should adopt a strategy similar to yours? It is unlikely that this will be passed through to prices. Do you consider this unlikely? In the case of Atacadão, I believe that we do have tools to use this if It is necessary. But what we see now is maintenance of our margins, maintenance of our model. Sebastián, regarding expenses, we had in our food sales a deflation, but inflation of costs. With the end of deflation and the level of inflation that we are witnessing in recent months, the scenario changes completely. Now, food inflation is at 3.6%, and expenses will grow a little more than that. So we are not going to have that gap that we had in the second half of last year and in the first half of this year. It's worth reminding that even in this inflation scenario, Guti's team in retail managed to get a lot of efficiency gains. Even during deflation, we were able to lower expenses. And we are always assessing this constantly to gain more efficiency. There is more room for improvement in the future. We will continue to seek efficiency gains and to control our SG&A expenses. Thank you very much, and congratulations on a good performance in the quarter. Next question from Mr. Richard Cathcart from Bradesco. Go ahead, sir. Richard Cathcart. I have two questions to Roberto. First, about Atacadão Card. Paula mentioned that it reached 10% of Atacadão sales. I'd like to understand more about sales. Are these consumers buying more frequently? So I'd just like to have some color on that. My second question has to do with the hypermarket that you converted. Could you give me more color on the performance of the store post-conversion? And I think you are going to convert between five and seven hypermarkets along the end of the year and next year. Is this guidance still valid? Will it be more or less? Okay, let me start from the last question first. Internally, we did assess potential transformations, potential conversions of hypermarket stores, and we're looking into this. Most likely, well, this year we did one conversion, which was the right thing to do. We were very focused on doing the right thing at the right time in Recife. Well, as you said, we have recently converted. We are 1 month after the conversion, and revenue is growing almost three times compared to the revenue of the hypermarket store. So this was a very well done conversion. It is now state of the art, and that store has a brilliant future ahead of it. What was the other question, Richard? Oh, about Atacadão Card, yes. And I'm sorry. Just to add, how many conversions are you planning for next year? Well, we are working on some possible conversions. We haven't got an accurate number yet, but most likely between one and two stores, for sure. We are working with a wider range of stores, but we are doing this slowly because we have time to do it. We want to do the right thing. As for credit card, you all know the story of Atacadão Card, which was a story built with Carrefour Bank and Atacadão. It was a customized solution for us. We were ready. We were expecting to be successful, but we didn't expect such a fast success. We are going to reach end of the year with a significant number. We have achieved break even at the bank. What we have seen is that in some regions of the country, penetration can be higher than 10, 11%. It can be 14, 15% already in the Northeast, in an area more susceptible to credit and loan-related performance. So we are working with the bank and with the card to have some offerings and to take advantage of this relationship that we have with clients, with the CRM that was generated. And the expectation is that this percentage will increase. These customers come to the store more often and with an average ticket which is 15 to 17% higher in their purchases. So the result is exceptional. What we expect for the future is to improve it even further. Thank you very much. If I can ask a quick follow-up question to Paula regarding the penetration of the marketplace in GMV. It was 16% in the quarter. Can you give us more color regarding this penetration, what it should be, what it can be in the next 3 to 5 years? Well, we normally don't give a guidance, but again, this is an important profitability strategy, but not just profitability. What we see is that an infinite shelf is more and more important to generate traffic. We are using the marketplace to reinforce areas where the Carrefour brand is already very strong. Let me give you an example. Car tires. We more than double the sales of tires from January to date because we understand that non-food is going to add our profitability. The long tail via marketplace helps drive traffic so that we can become more well-known. It supplements our marketing efforts, our positioning, and our profitability. So I can tell you that our intent is to continue to grow this because a large shelf, a long tail, will bring us more and more traffic. Excellent. Thank you, and congratulations on the results. Our next question comes from Franco Abelardo with Morgan Stanley. Mr. Abelardo, go ahead. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations on the results. I have two questions. The first has to do with acquisitions. We saw the acquisition of eMedia CyberCook, and I would like to understand if there is any other acquisition in your radar in terms of online action, content generation. Are you still prospecting new opportunities? And in parallel to that, you declared to distribute 380 million reals worth of dividends. Have you defined the dividend payout policy? What is the payout that you expect for the closed result of the year? Can it be higher than the 25%? Can it be higher, or will it remain at the level of 25%? This is Paula. Regarding M&A in the online segment, well, of course, we look into opportunities. There are startups doing beautiful work. If a startup is out there that is 100% aligned with what we want, delivery of food and higher level of service of food delivery to our clients, the answer is why not? So we are open as long as there is a strong strategic alignment with Carrefour values. Regarding the second question, our dividend payout policy of paying 25% of our adjusted net income, this policy will not change. We are going to pay this year 380 million reals, and by year end, we should assess our adjusted net income in the end of the year, and we will pay a complement amount in the beginning of next year. And a quick follow-up question. Can you tell us how much you paid for eMedia? Well, we don't comment on this. This is what we wrote in our advisory to the market when we informed about this acquisition. This is part of the agreement with the seller. We saw some numbers in the press. And I don't know what to tell you. I don't know where people got that number from. This is all I can tell you. Excellent. Thank you very much. Next question from Mr. Gustavo Oliveira with UBS. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to go back to Atacadão's gross margin. You talked about some drivers, some fine-tuning, market assessment, and a little bit of food service. I would like to better understand what you were thinking. Will food inflation help you improve your gross margin, and I want to understand the mix. In recent years, we saw growth of consumers going to Atacadão and generating even higher margins. As the economy improves, even with food service improving and bringing perhaps a lower margin for the business, I mean, I don't know if this applies or not. If it doesn't, you could clarify, please. Do you see any trend of consumers buying a little less at Atacadão? These are my questions. Thank you.
Well, good morning. To answer your question regarding the margin, more specifically, let me stress what we explained. We are always going to work with this being a top-line business in sales, and we will always work with everyday low price, trying to offer the most competitive price in the market. This is our focus. When we have more end consumers coming into the stores, and this is a movement that we saw mainly last year and this year, it doesn't really hurt our cost structure or our assortment offering structure. Now, what we did do was improve a little, nothing too significant. We improved a little the depth of offering for some products which are end user sensitive, but with a focus on small B2B. You know, our value proposition is to serve transformers and small B2B players, and through them to serve end clients. Our focus is not the end consumers. If we focus on the end consumers, we don't serve the small B2Bs and vice versa. So this is what we did. We see a growth in number of operations. We saw an increase in average ticket. We didn't see any reduction or absence or reduction in the sales volumes. Again, the behavior is purchase of supplies, purchasing for the whole month. We see this behavior happening throughout Brazil, and it continues. We always repeat this over and over. Once we human beings prove that something is good, unless something happens to disappoint people, we will continue doing it. So this is a trend that has come to stay. Nielsen, in their studies, show that this is a model to supply the end consumers. We're prepared for that. Our services are being improved at our stores. We're experimenting with some new technologies to have a quicker cash-out alternative. We have parking lots that provide the necessary comfort to all types of consumers. So the model remains exactly the same. We don't think that it is going to be a significant return with improvement. I mean, of course, when we have more money in our pocket, we tend to be a little more indulgent with consumers. Perhaps we'll buy some products that cost a little more, products that are a little better, and obviously we are quite smart regarding that as well. I don't know if I answered your question. If you helped, yes. I would just like to stress two points. One is, do you see accelerated growth in food service? Because that's an item that suffered a lot in recent years. Is this bringing a negative or positive contribution to your gross margin? Second question, the effect of food inflation in the expansion of your gross margin. Well, the effect of food inflation is positive. It helps us generate a slightly higher revenue. We always have to work focused on the margin. So if I need to use the margin, we'll do it. Because we've been able to do some negotiations, and we have to serve some opportunities that the model offers us. Regarding the food service overall, well, we didn't see any significant change. We haven't seen any significant change yet. Nielsen is not pointing to a recovery of eating out or eating out of home. This is a very slow recovery process. We haven't felt this positive effect yet. We hope we will soon, but scale is adjustable. It's almost like a communicating vessel. The more scale we have, the better we'll be able to improve our prices. This is the beauty of the model. If it doesn't work one way, it works another way, and we work always to maintain the level of our margins. An interesting point here in the Atacadão is that with this new target of 20 openings a year, expansion will help us. If we look quarter after quarter, the expansion drove higher sales. It was 5% in the second quarter. It's now 6% in the third quarter. So it's an additional purchasing volume, additional sales that help a lot. Perfect, Sebastian. And I have to stress the quality of these new openings. We have opened stores in the third quarter, the four stores that we opened in the third quarter. And what we are reserving for the fourth quarter, well, these are excellent performing stores. Excellent. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the results. Next question from Mr. Robert Ford with Bank of America. Mr. Ford, go ahead. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations on the results. Paula, could you speak about the e-commerce model for food retail? Could you speak about the use of drugstores? Could you use Rappi? Well, I believe that the drugstore is very good because it allows us to have a complete index of orders. We know exactly what we are selling, and the client gets exactly what they ordered. When you have your whole inventory sorted out, you can do that. The point is that we can use the model better. We're moving towards a model of using the current assets to do side stores so that we can use the hypermarket and the assets that we already have to create a different inventory and then do delivery. And I think then Buzzlion is definitely a differentiation point that we are looking at with a lot of care in terms of how to improve this service to our clients. But if it's a side store with greater partnerships with the delivery players, how can you accelerate the penetration of e-commerce? I mean, we have to use our current assets for picking. We need to have specialized picking. We have to guarantee delivery within 1 or maximum 2 hours to the client's home, and we have to have a quick delivery system to reach out to these clients, and this is our model. And, of course, populous cities are the ones that will deserve more attention initially. I don't know if I answered your question, Bob. Well, yes, but I would like to know more about what you're thinking. You can accelerate a solution to take advantage of this market opportunity. Well, first, you're right. There's no doubt that this is a blue ocean. Grocers account for 0.4% of the market. The truth is that there are not a lot of winning models. We see China, Korea, some cities like London where you have greater penetration. But, you know, Bob, we are strongly getting prepared for that, but I cannot really disclose 100% of our strategy at this point. But we are preparing ourselves, and we are going to be leaders in food e-commerce in Brazil, for sure. Thank you very much, Paula, and congratulations. I'd like to remind you that if you want to ask a question, please dial *9. Next question from Tobias with Citi.
Good morning. Congratulations on the result. The hypermarkets, they went through a change in assortment and in the price mix. Apparently, these hypermarkets did really well. Do you have any intention to expand this to more stores, or you did it surgically, you did it well, and now you're cruising and nothing else is going to change? Thank you.
Well, we assess that we have 23 stores with a high competitiveness level, with the results that we have of increased volumes, and with the recovery of the investments already made, we are assessing a second wave for 2019. We need to recover sales and to recover the investment made.
Perfect, and to understand, how long does it take to recover?
You normally have to change the prices, and then the volumes have to increase. How long does it take to increase? 6 months, 9 months, faster than what you expected? Well, with the experience that we have with the first wave, as of the 6 months, we start having significant growth, and we start to recover part of the investment made through higher volumes sold, through other cost initiatives, and obviously with negotiations.
Can you give us an idea of the number of stores that you could include in this second wave?
We are assessing particularly the most needy stores. We need to assess the stores that face a lot of competition. This is what we are assessing right now. And here the goal is clearly, with all of the data that we have gathered with those 23 stores, we are analyzing elasticity now, product by product, and we'll use all of this data to make much more practical moves. It's not going to be something massive. And we have to bet on the products where we discovered a great need.
Thank you very much, Perfect.
As a reminder, dear guests, if you want to ask a question, please dial star 9. This concludes today's question and answer session. Carrefour Brazil conference call is closed for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day.